Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here with you again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve into BS. Bait and switch, or whatever else you want to assign to those two letters. We simply will not be honest until we are honestly loving. Love is the engine of the human condition. And when the engine of love is down, the human condition is down. The human condition slides into an abyss, absent love. But enter stage right, stage left, center stage. Love and the human condition instantly improves. Now, I'm not talking about soft soaped love. I'm talking about the hardcore issue of love. I know people believe that when I say we have to love, they say, well, but you can't just love. And as soon as I hear that, I know they don't understand the real principle I'm after here. Or people will say, yeah, we love, but listen, all your buts, you can keep them. No love, but it is love alone. Love alone is credible. Hans von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, said, love alone is credible. Lovers understand God. We should listen to the lovers above the theologians, though. And I believe that when you find a theologian with love, you have found somebody who knows God. The little epistle of 1 John is my go-to Bible verse, if you will. It says, God is love. Love is God. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. I used to say many years ago, dwelling in God is like falling into a vat of perfume. Nobody will doubt you've been somewhere extraordinary if you genuinely dwell in God. And if you fall into the fullness of love, you've fallen into the fullness of God, just like falling into a vat of perfume. You can walk around the world and everybody will know you've been somewhere. We can smell you from 20 feet over here. Love is like that. God is like that. It's known. It's a known entity. It isn't a second guess. And so I am here week in and week out on the No BS Bishop. I want to call you to join me to be alive to love. And to that end, I've written Love's Creed. And so I want to share it with you again today, and I'll give it to you in total to start with. And then we'll go back through it just like vows at a wedding ceremony. So here it is. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I wrote that many years ago because I knew I needed to wrap my hands around this one message that I was going to spend the rest of my days teaching, preaching, unpacking, searching, researching, and a pilgrimage toward. I do not profess myself to be perfect at love. Never, ever have, never will. But I am announcing to all who would give me a moment of their time that I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm in a progress. I'm in a long walk toward one obedience, a long stretch, a marathon toward love. I run fast at times. I run slow at times. Sometimes I, like in a marathon, I'll pull off to the side and throw up because I'm tired, because I just overdid myself or things just weren't working right. But in total, my direction is the finish line, to finish well in pursuing love well. It's like the mountain, we always have said, right? Why do we climb the mountain? Because it's there. And so with love, why do we go for love? Why do we reach for love? Why are we alive for love? Because it's there. It is inescapable. It beckons us. How many songs are written about love? How many poems are written about love? How many movies? How many books? How many tales? How many short stories? How many editorials? How many classes? How many conferences? How many counseling sessions have been taught and approached on love? In the millions. And the truth is, that's testament to the power of love, knowing what it really is. So here is the creed of love, love's creed. I'll give it to you in vow-like form, like at a wedding ceremony, in short bursts. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, today I have this powerful sense, having just walked with you through love's creed, we are at a critical juncture in America today, in the United States of America. For multiple reasons, we're at an impasse. We're at a critical juncture. We're at an intersection. And I'm convinced that some voices out here need to raise their voice in something other than just the noise we keep hearing. I'm not talking about political noise. I'm not talking about just the political noise, because there's plenty of that. I'm not just talking about I'm right, you're wrong, us versus them. I'm talking about the sanity of many of us who have the courage to stand up and say, time out. Let's change the subject, and not just change the subject, but change the attitude, change the core, change the nuclear core of what we're saying. Tell me your vision for the world, not your vitriol against it. Don't explain to me how wrong your opponent's ideas are. Please tell me how brilliant your ideas are. We love the blame game rather than the giving your name and saying, this is what I believe game. Well, and why do we love the blame game? Because like in faith and religion, politics, relationships, when I can blame others, it somehow or another convinces me that I'm always right. If I can blame other people and not ever examine myself, well, then I must always be right. And that feels pretty good. And when I can make everybody else wrong, well, my ego gets paid off in a huge bonus. Listen, in the United States of America, I can't speak for other nations, but I can speak for the country I love and have loved my whole life. Every one of us born here, we won the lottery, didn't we? We won the national lottery being born in the United States of America. And yet, here we are in a juncture of anger and vitriol and casting stones across a chasm at each other. Back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, possibly into the early 80s, America and the Soviet Union were in what we called a Cold War. There were very few bullets being fired, no bombs being launched, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh girl, oh girl, oh girl, oh girl. We were in a cold war, and there were deaths aplenty. There was sabotage. There was secret wars going on in the sky, in the space. I mean, it was a war, but it wasn't a war with bombs and bullets and front lines. It was just cold. And now we're in the United States of America, and we're in a cold civil war, aren't we? There's no bombs to be. Well, I should say, there's no extraordinary frontline bombs, no extraordinary frontline shots being fired, but oh my, 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 are we ever in a cold civil war? I believe that there is one way out. Yeah, you know how where I'm going, right? Love. Love your neighbors. Love yourself. Love your enemy. These are the words of Jesus. You know, Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. The little child song said, love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Love God. The Old Testament Shema that called, Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. I heard a man by the name of Jonathan Martin preach some years ago, and he gave me a gem, a golden nugget of truth when he said this phrase, preach like hellfire and brimstone. Why? Because there's no flame as hot as love. I've been guilty in years gone by when I was a younger, I call myself a puppy preacher, of preaching hellfire and brimstone, thinking somehow if I can just shame and frighten people enough, they'll surely come to embrace God. And that's a terrible, terrible notion. Because when we fear something, and I don't mean like in a healthy respect fear that we should fear God. Yeah, I fear God just like I fear a roller coaster. It surprises, twists and turns and climbs and dives. There's a certain amount of healthy fear of God that He's all powerful, He's all knowing, so I have this respect. But when I'm talking about fear now, I'm talking about the kind of fear that says fear God because He can kill you. Fear God because He can take everything you got. He gives and He takes away. And this God is just monstrous. He's a ghostly God. You never know when He's going to turn around and turn on you. Listen, I don't believe in that God. In fact, if you wanted to say something accurate, I'm an atheist as it relates to that God, but I'm a full believer in God is love. Love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. And so when I used to preach hellfire and brimstone, it wasn't with love. And now I understand. See, I've been known through the years as being a, you know, kind of a loud preacher. I wasn't that soft preacher. Some of my colleagues in the neighborhood here used to call me the raging Pentecostal. I wore that with some degree of pride because I did love enthusiasm. I do love to keep you awake. I've preached, I can't even count how many conferences, youth camps, and other meetings where I've said, listen, I'll do anything to keep your attention. I'll set my hair on fire if I have to. And so I've gotten people to laugh when I say, look, a preached word for me is like getting a drink of water in front of a fire hydrant. I believe in that kind of thing. Nobody else has to be like me. If two of us are alike, one of us is unnecessary, and I just want to be necessary with my own personality. So I've always preached with a lot of passion, but listen, now I know that the passion must be the flaming hot fire of love, not hellfire and brimstone, but love. There's no flame hotter than love, right? The whole human condition attests to the fact that love is the hottest fire there is. The only way up, the only way out, the only way through for the United States of America right now is a discovery of love. And I do believe that Jesus made it clear in the Gospel of John that by this all men, all humans would know we are His disciples. How? If we have love. That's how the world will know. Not by our threatening tone, not by our shaming and blaming, but by our love. Don't tell me your vitriol against the world. Tell me your vision, your love for the world. Don't explain how wrong everybody else's ideas are. Tell me how brilliant your ideas are. And my idea is love. And we must lay down the swords of the blame game. Jesus told His disciples once, He said, do you have any swords? And they said, yeah, we have a couple here. He said, okay, that's plenty. You know, I don't think Jesus had, there were 13 people, there was a couple of swords. I don't think Jesus was planning a sword fight. I think Jesus was planning an object lesson, because when they got to the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas came and kissed Jesus and betrayed Him, Peter drew his sword and Jesus said, put away your sword. Listen, having a sword is far different from using a sword. And when Peter drew the sword, Jesus commanded him, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And so it is only by love that we will survive and thrive and go forward. So to people of faith, I would say, boy, do we have an opportunity deluxe in front of us. In a loveless society, in a society determined to blame and shame and be mad, in a society where everybody wants to fight and argue, debate, and make sure everybody else is wrong and I'm right, we, people of faith in God, we have an opportunity in this darkness. We're flashlight salespeople. In this world of darkness, we're the folks with an inextinguishable light, and the light is love. There's no other way to look at this. If the world is dark, why? It's dark because the people of light haven't been made aware of the fact that we have an inextinguishable eternal light, an eternal flame, and it is the flame of love. I'm going to wrap today up. I'm about halfway through, but just in this last 15 minutes, 10 minutes, I want to ask some questions. What if we simply loved? What if we simply determined, I'm not going to fight you politically, I'm going to love you from the heart? What if we decided to love our neighbor as ourselves? What if so many of us, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, what if some of us just said, hey, you know, I've never met my neighbor. I've lived here for 10 years or 30 years. I better go meet my neighbor. Introduce myself, take a pie over there, take a fresh baked loaf of bread over there. I should just say, hi, I'm Randy Dean, or you put in your name. How are you today? I'm sorry we haven't met. I told a story here some years ago or months ago of how a neighbor next door to us, right next door, and yeah, I live in the country, but they were next door. A neighbor had passed away. And my wife and I hadn't heard about it for months until our neighbor's husband was walking by, and we walked out to the street and said, hey, it's so good to see you. How is? And we filled in the name, and he said, oh, you haven't heard. She passed away. Ginger and I were crushed because simply because of the death of someone we loved, but we were crushed because we had failed to love our neighbor. It was crushing. I'm saying, how about we learn to love our neighbor? How about we learn to love our enemies? How about instead of arguing with our enemies, we gave them an ear? Yeah, to listen doesn't mean to agree, but to listen means you love. To listen means I'm willing to sacrifice some moments of my own mouth running. I'm going to listen instead of talking and let you talk. Tell me everything you know. And then when you're exhausted, I'll say thank you and go on my way. That's love, folks. That's how love works. That's the hard, heavy lifting of love. What if we threw some block parties? What if we decided to gather our neighborhoods together and talk to the authorities and say, hey, can we block off our streets so that children can run in the street and play games and our neighbors can barbecue out in the street? What if we decided to have a benefit for no other reason but to just throw some extra cash at some families around us that we knew have some needs? I mean, I'm not talking about families in crisis. Of course, we should do something there. But what if we simply loved enough to say, let's raise $1,000 for fill in the blank, whoever the name is, and let's just surprise them with $1,000 for no other reason except just to give them $1,000. What if in America we decided that we were going to go door to door with our home number and our car, a little card with our name, and say, hi, I'm your neighbor. My name is Randy Dean. I'm here for anything you need. If you ever need a prayer, I'm here. If you ever need a phone call, I'm here. I'm just here to say I love my neighbor. What if we simply did small incremental things without an agenda, without trying to get them to come to our church? Yeah, that's another issue. I'm not here to tell you to love people so they'll come to your church. Listen, most people anymore are simply not going to go visit a church they've never darkened the doors of. They're terrified. Churches are scary to most people, and that's a fact. We're watching the numbers of America drop like a rock off a cliff. The numbers are plummeting. I'm not here to defend or to argue about it in any way. I'm simply here to say we should love without the motivation, without any kind of driven idea that, hey, if I love them, they'll come to my church. No. Hey, if I love them, I will have been a good human being. Hey, if I love people, I will have done the right thing for the right thing's sake and no other sake, no other motivation. I say here often, to love without the motivation, to love without recruiting or changing or seeking to make somebody into something, this is the real heavy lifting of life. So what if we sent letters, handwritten letters? Oh, horrors. Sit down with a pencil and paper and write a handwritten letter with no other motivation except to say, hello, I haven't visited with you in a long time. Wanted to send you a handwritten letter so you could see my handwriting and you could see that I spent 20 minutes caring about you. What if we made phone calls for no other reason, no motivation, nothing else on our mind except to say, hi, I was thinking about you. Good to hear your voice. Give me a call anytime. If you can't catch me right away, leave a message. I'll get back to you at my earliest possible convenience. You see, there are 10,000 practical things, 10,000 ideas I could shoot at you. I just don't have time here. I'm down to the last 8 minutes of my broadcast. There are so many small practical notions for us to just live for. To live love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. What if our whole nation suddenly had a flash of conscience that would start imagining what would it be like to turn our mind away from how wrong others are and become creative in how we could be as right as we knew how to be ourselves toward others that we've never even listened to? What if we had a steady stream of gratitude coming from our mouth instead of a steady stream of vitriol? What if we just lived our lives as a means of giving attention to the genius of love? What if we lived our lives toward being wise in love and ignorant toward hate? How much happier would we all be if we came to believe, just like a kid, that life is for loving? What if we, just like a kid, would look at a new item, a new subject, a new book, a new flower, a new tree, and marvel at it as if we'd never seen it before? What if love became our vision, our purpose, our passion? What if we preached like hellfire and brimstone because there is no flame hotter than love? Well, I'm coming down to the end of my time, and I hope you can tell my heart is full. We are being invited to turning on the lights in a dark time. Let the light of love be your light. One way to practice this is to calm yourself. This is where I go every broadcast in the little BS Bishop, calming yourself. We've lived under a 24/7 barrage of news. And I want to be an informed citizen, but I don't need the news 24/7. I need just an occasional information piece, and I need the rest of the day to calm myself by breathing well. On the count of three, I'm going to invite you to breathe as deep as you know how or as you can physically inhale. Hold that breath down into your diaphragm and just keep it filling that lung as much as you know how on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. Calmly exhale. Slow it down and be alive to love. Another exercise we do here on the Alive to Love broadcast is I teach you, challenge you, give you the opportunity to give somebody your full attention. look them in the eye. Eye contact. Yeah, I know. It's that weird thing called real intimate eye contact. Look them in the eye. It'll feel weird. It'll feel awkward, but it's worth the exercise. And say to somebody, I love you. Yeah, they'll probably dodge your eye contact, but that's okay. Maybe somewhere they'll say, you know what, that felt good. I think I'll try it too. So what if all of us made eye contact with strangers and friends and family and wherever else we went, and we gave a full moment to say to somebody, I love you. Who knows what tragedies we would avert? Who knows what hearts are full of pain and misery that could be stopped in their tracks before they do something tragic? Who knows what that person might do if you said, I love you? Who knows what decisions they may make from that point forward that are decisions of life and not death? We're in a certain amount of historic time in our nation, and we have one choice to get through this, one way through it. Love. Love alone is credible. Love alone bears the burden of the heat of the day. It's the love of God and the God of love that we carry into this world of pain, sorrow, and disappointment. Let us be lovers today, ladies and gentlemen, like we have never been before. Now, please go out and do something beautiful today. Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It's time for the people of love to demonstrate real beauty. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.